Welcome to Project I Am with Dr. David Schloss. Grab your coffee, green tea, or smoothie. Find your favorite listening spot or put on your walking shoes. Ready? Let's go.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Project I Am. I'm Dr. David Schloss. And today, we're going deep on five simple signals that a relationship is truly healing you. You know how you have different types of relationships in your life? Some drain you, some nurture you, and I don't know, some just entertain you. But some of them really heal you. In relational cultural theory, we call them the five good things. These five indicators that a relationship you have is actually healing you. But before we unpack them, we need to name the water that we're all swimming in. We are living through a connection recession, a time when many people feel increasingly lonely, isolated, and unseen. Well, how do we know this? Because our public health leaders have said it plainly. In 2023, the US Surgeon General issued a national advisory naming loneliness and isolation as a public health crisis, tying strong social connection to lowering the risk for heart disease, stroke, dementia, depression, and premature death, and calling for all of us to respond some way and get into helping figure this stuff out. I don't know if you guys remember that. That was just a few years ago. And also on a global level, the World Health Organization, their Commission on Social Connection, reported in 2025, this year, that 1 in 6 people worldwide experience loneliness, with especially high rates among adolescents, and then also in lower income countries. They decided reframing social connection as a foundational determinant of health. That is huge. And so even though this was announced a few years ago, this is an ongoing problem. And I'm sure all of us, as we chat about it, we can talk about social media contributing to isolation. We can talk about COVID and how that impacted us. So there's a lot in this. But regardless of how it originated, the truth is that right now, many people are struggling with loneliness and with isolation and with real live-to-live in-person friendships, how to make them, how to find them, how to keep them healthy, how to keep them from getting toxic. And if you're wondering whether connection merely just feels nice, consider the science. In two landmark meta-analyses, psychologist Julianne Holt-Neustadt and some of her colleagues found that stronger social relationships predict significantly better survival, roughly a 50% increase in odds of survival. That was in the first analysis. And measurable mortality risk associated with both loneliness and social isolation in the second. In other words, what I mean by that is, in other words, connection isn't a luxury. It is as consequential to our health as any other major risk factor. So when we talk about the five good things from relational cultural theory, we're not dealing in platitudes, but we're talking about vital signs of relational health, markers that we can feel in our bodies and see in our choices. Today, we'll explore these five good things, where they come from, what they look like in real life, and how to practice them and also measure them so that you can grow in your relationships, particularly the relationships that help you heal. The ones that help you be seen for who you really are. Okay, does that sound interesting? I hope so. I'm excited about sharing this with you. But before we do, first, the disclaimer.
This podcast is created for educational and inspirational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional mental health services, diagnosis, or treatment. Although Dr. Schloss is a licensed mental health professional, listening to this podcast does not create a therapeutic relationship. The content shared here is intended to support your personal development and mental wellness journey, but it should not be considered medical or psychological advice tailored to your individual situation. If you are in need of therapeutic support, please seek help from a qualified mental health provider in your area. If you are experiencing a mental health crisis, please contact a local crisis line or emergency services immediately. Views expressed by any guests on the show are their own and do not necessarily reflect views of Dr. Schloss or the views of Project I Am.
Relational Cultural Theory, RCT, grew out of the work at the Stone Center at Wellesley, now called Relational Cultural Theory, RCT, grew out of the work at the Stone Center at Wellesley College. It's now called the Jean Baker Miller Institute, right? And the pioneers that were with Jean Baker Miller, Judith Jordan, Irene Stiver, Janet Surrey, they asked the simple but really radical question for the time. What if psychological growth happens through and toward connection and not by achieving radical independence? And so what was happening at the time was a lot of the theories that were around that were predominantly being used as people's core theories when it came to counseling psychology, people were equating autonomy and individuation with health. And so if somebody was really autonomous, if they had really individuated, that was like a huge factor of contributing to us viewing them as healthy. And connection wasn't. In fact, connection at the time oftentimes got confused with codependency. And there was a big move in studying codependency at the time. But in RCT, we talk about growth-fostering relationships that are built on mutual empathy, mutual empowerment, authenticity, and courage. When those conditions are present, a cluster of outcomes tend to appear that we call the five good things. And this is huge because during the time when this cohort came up with this model, there was a lot of pushback against it. Whereas now, one of the associate editors of the APA calls relational cultural therapy one of the top 10 most vital therapies of our time. Miller and Stiver first articulated these good things, and then Jordan and others continued to refine and apply them in counseling and community contexts. So I'm sure at this point in the podcast that you guys are eager to know what these five good things are. Let me tell you about them. 1, zest or vitality. 2, clarity about self and other. 3, a sense of worth. 4, productivity or empowered action, and 5, a desire for more connection. RCT also names the counter movement when there's chronic disconnection, misunderstanding, shaming, power misuse. The opposite pattern tends to show up. Energy drops, our perspective narrows, our worth erodes, our action stalls, and we end up withdrawing even more. Now, RCT doesn't pathologize us for that. It says that many of our protective strategies were once wise adaptations that kept us safe, but that can now impose current costs in relationships. So basically, the things that you did as a younger person to protect you are now preventing you from having the relationships that you need. Today, we're going to make the five good things practical and trackable so that they become a map for therapy, a map for you and your friendships, maybe a map for you as you supervise LPC associate. We can also use them to track the health of teamwork and also family life. So let's get into each of these five good things with a definition. We'll talk about how you define them. We'll talk about body cues. We'll talk about language that you can use, why it matters, and so on. So let's see how we go. First of all, let's talk about zest. Another word for zest is vitality. What does that mean? Well, zest is a felt uptick in energy after a growth-fostering interaction. After you've hung out with somebody, you leave feeling that you've got more life in you, more energy in you. It feels good, right? And the way you might feel this in your body is through an upright posture, a brighter tone, more positive affect, and willingness to consider a next step. A question you can ask yourself to measure this is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much energy do I feel right now after meeting with this person? compared to how I felt when I started. Why does this matter? This matters because in RCT, zest is the first sign. Connection gives energy that fuels change. Okay, so that's zest. The second thing we talk about is clarity. What is clarity? Because in the context of RCT, we're talking about clarity about yourself and clarity about the other person in the relationship. The definition is this. When you're experiencing clarity, you better understand your inner world and also the relationship. You see yourself clearer. You see what is happening in the relationship clearer. And you see the other person clearer. How does this show up in your body? Well, you might talk a little bit slower, with more precise language, and have better distinctions. Maybe you say something like, oh, that was fear and actually not anger that was showing up there. And you could also ask yourself the question, what feels clearly new about me as I enter this? And you could also ask yourself the question, what feels newly clear about me or about the person or about this pattern? What new knowledge or understanding do I have about myself? Does that make sense? Good. Okay, the third thing is a sense of worth. Basically, a sturdier felt worth. Maybe you think to yourself, maybe I'm not actually as bad as I thought I was. Maybe I'm not actually broken. Maybe those were just adaptive strategies that I was using. And the way this shows up in a relationship is through having a softer affect, a greater willingness to make eye contact, a willingness to hold complexity without collapsing. You might say something like, what, if anything, feels more okay about me after meeting with this person? Do I have more self-compassion towards myself? Okay, the fourth one, productivity or empowered action. Because here's the truth, connection moves us towards action. When we feel connected with somebody and we feel seen, oftentimes afterwards, we take meaningful steps that are aligned with our values. Some actual physical cues associated with this are like reaching for your calendar, initiating a practice, laying down a boundary, taking some kind of action step. And maybe you ask yourself, what next step feels possible for me because of my connecting with this person today? And lastly, a desire for more connection. When this is evident in a relationship, you just want more of it. You want another dose of that nourishing contact. Not from neediness, but because the relationship itself is life-giving. What are some behaviors that are evidence of this? Well, if you afterwards are scheduling the next time you hang out with a person, let's say you had such a good time and you feel so nourished and seen that before you even parting ways, you're setting the next coffee date on the calendar, well, that's a good sign. Something you can ask yourself is this, do I notice myself wanting to schedule time with this person again or not? Do I want more of this person in my life or not? Okay, so basically, what were they? Zest or vitality, clarity about self and about other, a greater sense of worth, productivity or empowered action, and a desire for more connection. Together, these five things form a feedback loop. More zest enables more clarity. Clarity about ourselves stabilizes our worth. A greater sense of worth fuels action, and action strengthens our desire to reconnect. Let's return to the bigger picture. Why do we need a shared language for healthy connection? Well, because first, loneliness and isolation are not just feelings, they are health risks. The Surgeon General's advisory synthesizes decades of evidence. Stronger social connection lowers the risk of heart disease, dementia, depression, and premature death, whereas disconnection and isolation raises them. This is why the advisory calls for investing in social connection. Secondly, because the World Health Organization has reframed social connection as a global health priority, estimating that loneliness is common across all ages and regions, roughly 1 in 6 people worldwide, and urging policy research and measurement to move connection from the margins to the center of public health efforts. Thirdly, because high-quality connections don't just reduce risk, but they add capacity. It causes us to be more resilient. The Holt-Lundstedt meta-analysis show the effect isn't trivial. The quantity and quality of relationships that we have predict survival odds in ways comparable to other major health risks. And that's breathtaking. For many of us, the most impactful health behavior might be building better relationships and not just counting steps on our Apple Watch. So relational cultural theory gives us a practice frame for this. If connection is medicine, well then the 5 good things are the dose-responsive curve. They tell us whether a given relationship, whether it's supervisory, therapeutic, collegial, or familial, is actually nourishing us or not. So how do we track relational health without turning our lives into spreadsheets? Enter the Relational Health Indices, the RHI, a validated set of scales developed by Bell, Liang, and colleagues to assess growth-fostering relationships across engagement, authenticity, and empowerment, with versions that have been tested amongst women and confirmatory work for men as well. Here's how to use the RHI Relational Health Indices snapshot. In the area of engagement, authenticity, and empowerment, you can ask yourself the following 3 questions. For engagement, do I feel seen and understood in this relationship? For engagement, do I feel seen and understood in this relationship? And then for authenticity, can I bring more of my real self without hiding? Again, for authenticity, in this relationship, can I bring more of my real self without hiding? And then for empowerment or for zest, when I leave interactions with this person, do I have more energy or do I feel drained? For empowerment or zest, when I leave this interaction, do I have more energy or do I feel drained? Now, this is a short snapshot of the full RHI. The full measure is longer, but the constructs are stable. The constructs are engagement, authenticity, and empowerment. And when we measure our relationships like that over a 2 to 3 weeks period, we can see trends, especially around the areas of rupture and repair. Sometimes you can ask yourself the questions at the start and at the end of a meeting. How is your energy now versus how it was at the start? Is there one new piece of clarity you have? How do you actually feel about yourself right now? Do you feel better? In your mind, is there an action step that you feel like taking? And do you feel a pull to reconnect? When scores dip, then slow down and name the between. Point out the thing that isn't working and repair it. Create a plan to make it healthier. That may simply look like noticing what is happening in the relationship and saying something like, "Hey, I noticed that we're both tense right now. What do you think's going on?" Or, "When I said that, I wasn't sure how it landed and I noticed you pull back a bit. Can I maybe try to say it a bit differently and clarify what I meant?" It's all about noticing and then making the repair. You see, underneath the labels that we have, underneath the various roles that we play, whether that's as a therapist, a parent, a partner, a leader, whatever the relationship is, most of us all want the same thing. We want to be seen accurately. We want to have a safe enough space to show up as our authentic self to be honest. And we want to know that the relationship can hold the truth and repair when we get it wrong. And that's really what the five good things are pointing to. More life, more clarity, more worth, more movement, and desire to connect. The research tells us that connection protects our bodies and our minds. And the five good things, they tell us how to look for healthy connection. So, start practicing the five good things. Start noticing their presence in your relationships. Really notice. After you've met with somebody, whether it's a client, a supervisee, an LPC associate, a boss, a partner, one of your children, after you've had a good conversation and you spend time together, is there any spark of zest? Is there any new clarity? Is there any softening inside? Is there any new action that you're willing to take? And is there any desire to reach again, to spend more time with them? That's relational cultural theory and the five good things. I know it was a brief overview, but I hope it gave you some pointers and some things to look out for in healthy relationships. If this helped you, share it with someone you love or a colleague who needs a relational reboot. Until next time, keep choosing connection. You are valuable. You deserve a safe space to be known and to know others. May you be well.
The weather today will be glorious. Put on your sunglasses, sunscreen, and sun smiles. You're gonna love it.